Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Buck Sexton Show. Deep dive session with the asked for, the greatly anticipated Rogan O'Hanley, best known to many of you as DC Drano. He is DC Drano on Twitter, on Instagram, on all the places where he shares his memes, his commentary, and his fighting for America. Rogan, which I have to remember to call you because, you know, not actually call you DC Drano, but Rogan.
You can call me Drano. That's fine.
Drano, that's cool. Good to see you, man. How are you? How's everything going?
I'm doing well. I've got my Florida Man shirt on to honor the great land that we live in. But thank you for having me on, brother.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm a Florida transplant as well. And I just look like a guy who threw on a T-shirt after waking up from a nap, which I also feel like is very Florida in its own way.
I there was a great meme. It said, what's something that's classy if you're rich, but trashy if you're poor? And the guy goes, Florida.
I saw that. Or, by the way,
wide range of people here, which
are you active on, you know, there's so many things you saw Trump recently. I want to ask you about that. You know, how is the Trump camp doing right now? What do you think about 2024? Are you sure Biden, for example, is going to run? We got East Palestine to discuss, a whole range of things that I want to get to today with you. But TikTok, you know, they're moving closer and closer, it seems, to actually banning it. Are you active on TikTok? Are you an anti-TikTok guy? Because, you know, you've built this massive presence, millions of people on Instagram and other platforms. What do you think about TikTok?
So when TikTok first came out, I jumped all over it. I quickly felt very uncomfortable and far too old for TikTok. And it was tough to relay my type of content, which is very anti-deep state, to such a specifically young audience. You know, on Instagram, you get such a wide range, but especially in people in their 30s and 40s. For TikTok, it was tough. So I got like 200,000 followers on there. But then I kept getting censored, and it was the most censored platform out of all of them, which is saying something. And so I gave up. I didn't post for like 2 years, and I just deleted it right around the Chinese spy balloon incident, because I was like, how am I going to, you know, talk about the surveillance balloon while I still have the surveillance app on my phone? So I am, you know, completely off TikTok.
And I guess, why do they even need the balloons if everyone's you're carrying around the surveillance balloon in your hand? At least that's what they're telling us. That's what TikTok actually is. I like to watch TikTok sometimes, just because if you're into quick recipes, grilling meat, homemade knives and tools, but particularly there's a lot of bladesmiths on TikTok. Like, there's cool content on there, unfortunately, that has nothing to do with China or the Chinese Communist Party. But apparently it's carrying around a spy balloon in your hand, which is probably not a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very addictive platform. I used to, you know, look at it a fair amount. I really haven't looked at that much in the last couple of years, but I am actually very pro banning TikTok. For one, it will get rid of a, you know, Chinese spy platform in the United States. And two, all those people are going to disperse across other platforms where you and I are far more, you know, prominent, and where we enjoy those platforms more. And so I think it actually helps the other platforms. I wouldn't be surprised if the people leading the charge against it are Facebook, Google, you know, Snapchat, et cetera, because they're such a strong competitor.
Oh, TikTok is definitely beating all the other platforms. You know, Snapchat for a little while was the kind of young, you know, the next generation platform that was really scaring Facebook and all that. But I think Snapchat has really fallen off. Also, this whole idea that people have of like, oh, you can take a photo or whatever and send it to somebody and it disappears forever. No, it's actually not how the internet works. So, you know, this isn't, you know, I think when people realized that some of the Snapchat features weren't really what they thought they were. But beyond that, now it's TikTok. I mean, TikTok, from what I can see from the data, and, you know, Josh Hawley was on our radio show recently talking about how he wants to ban social media for kids under 16. I mean, the more I look at this, the more I feel like, yeah, I actually believe, I don't think the 12-year-old should be on social media. Why would you want to be on social media as a 12-year-old? You know, why you wouldn't want unregulated discourse, meaning just like your 12-year-olds, you know, interacting with other 12 years, you know, you want parental supervision around them, right? I mean, you know, you don't have kids yet. I don't have kids
100%.
Yet, you know what I mean? So this notion that you should have not even just kids, but the global internet when you're 12, 11, 10, 13, 14. I think I totally get it, man. I think Josh Hawley's, I think he's right. Even if it's not a government mandate thing, we can get into whether the government should be mandating it or not. I don't think people should be letting their kids have social media at such a young age, just based on what we all know it can do.
Yeah, I think as more science comes out about what it does to especially developing brain, yeah. I don't think adults should have access to social media on sure. Some days.
Yeah,
I mean, even, you know, you or me, I'm a pretty strong minded person, but I mean, I'll come across some stuff. I'm like, what did I just watch? I mean, it will drastically affect my mood. But you know, for kids to not only be subjected to these types of images and videos and graphics, and then to also deal with the social ramifications of doing something in high school that was maybe embarrassing, and just having this kind of group harassment campaign. I mean, look at harassment campaigns on Twitter, right? I mean, obviously that's happening in high schools, and, you know, kids kill themselves over this stuff. So I'm actually open to a ban, maybe not 16, maybe 14 and under, or something to that, maybe 15. I don't know. I think it's absolutely something that should be debated, and there should be some limitation at a minimum.
Look, I mean, also, and I know this is part of another thread to the discussion too, but they often talk about how for young girls, it creates this completely unrealistic body image issue. And you know, there's some really horrifying statistics about how many young women across the country have considered self-harm in the last year. And there's a lot of psychological duress for young girls that, as they measure this, as it's self-reported, it has been getting worse and worse. I also think that for a lot of young men, and not even that young, but, you know, guys up into their teenage years, for example, they can also have, I mean, the short way of putting this is that these guys that they're seeing who are like, you know, these physical specimens, the amount of steroid use, you know, trenbolone, HGH, you know, TRT, all this stuff that goes into creating a lot of these persona accounts in social media, like, you know, 16, 17, 18 year old guys and guys, honestly, a lot older than that, too, need to know this stuff isn't real, folks. Or at least there's a component to the reality that they're not aware of that I think can create real distortions. And I mean, do you see this, too? There are whole accounts where people are talking about how they use steroids just for aesthetics.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, people accuse me of using steroids because I'm so jacked, and it's, you know, constant rumors I have to dispel.
I know, and Liver King, and Liver King's already got, so you better watch out, Rogan.
I'm completely kidding. But
listening, other people. So just in your case for the podcast people, he was doing his bicep thing like Popeye. And while Rogan is a heartthrob for the ladies, though, off the market now, married like yours truly.
Showing the wedding ring.
I don't think anybody believes either of us are taking steroids. Anyway, keep going.
There's clearly, you know, toxic lifestyles that are portrayed there. And, you know, again, I'm not opposed to education and learning about things. But I think I remember was it Steve Jobs or other Silicon Valley bigwigs who basically said they would never allow their kids on social media until they're full grown adults. And it's like, what do they know that we don't know? You know, these things are designed to be addictive. And we're learning that not only social media, but things like porn and other things, they really do change your dopamine, you know, system, basically your reward system. And it leads you down to depressing paths, and just a bad, unhealthy lifestyle. So, like I said, I do think there needs to be an absolute limitation for younger kids. I think TikTok should be banned just by virtue of the fact that China is our greatest national threat. And, you know, it's very clear that their TikTok algorithms over there are designed to make their kids like fit and, you know, aggressive and assertive and leaders. And the TikTok platform here is designed to promote all the woke ideologies and to ban and censor all conservative ideologies. So you're just getting a funnel system of the future of America being steered by a foreign communist country's algorithm. And for that alone, I think it should be banned.
Yeah, I'm a person who often tells people that I think it's really instructive to read, you know, the KGB archives were uncovered after the fall of the wall, the Matrokhin archives, people refer to it as, and you can see the active measures and the different clandestine operations of Russian intelligence against the United States in a whole range of ways, much more pervasive than people learn in school, much broader penetrations by the Communist Party of the United States were very real. The Red Scare was actually fear mongering in the wrong direction, as in telling people that it wasn't really happening. I mean, for God's sakes, they stole our nuclear technology. I mean, you know, the most sensitive stuff was targeted by the Soviets. If they could have convinced all of our children in our homes that they were one of 38 genders or whatever, and that masculinity was toxic, the Soviets would have had a field day with it. I mean, they would have absolutely loved what now, obviously, the Chinese Communist Party is able to do as our near peer competitor. I want to get back to the censorship point, though, in a second, because I want to know how that's affected you. For example, you know, you're prolific on Instagram. You've got over 2 million Instagram followers, which is huge. And, you know, and you're not a bikini model. So it means that you actually have to do content that people are interested in beyond just look at me. I'm really not that you're not, you know, I'm sure, you know, the ladies, as I said, but you're doing a lot of content that a lot of people are seeing. I want to know what kind of censorship you're actually coming up against. So put a pin in that for 1 second, Drano, because I want to also talk about our sponsor here from the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Tunnel to Towers does incredible work. They honor our heroes and they honor severely injured and fallen heroes. And they do this with mortgage-free homes. This year alone, hundreds of Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and our nation's most severely injured veterans and first responders are receiving smart homes. More than 500 homeless veterans received housing and services last year. Over 1,500 are going to receive housing and services this year. It's an organization that keeps the American people's sacred promise to our heroes. And through the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute, the foundation is also educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about what happened in 9/11 and the aftermath and the war on terror. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Please help America to never forget its greatest heroes. Join me in donating $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. It's so easy to do, and it's so important. T2T.org. All right, so Rogan, are you seeing, so Elon buys Twitter. Are you seeing a change? First of all, what do you think of how Twitter is coming along at this point? And have the other platforms gotten a little bit less censor crazy, or are they still doing the same kind of stuff? Do you know, you're getting strikes, you're getting shadow banned, all that?
It's a good question. So first off, I just got my Twitter back after being banned for 2 years. So wow.
Congratulations, by the way. Welcome back.
Thank you. And, you know, I've currently got a lawsuit. I'm represented by Harmeet Dhillon. And we had our hearing in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals 3 months ago. So any day now, we could wake up and there is a major ruling that could impact all of us. Because all big tech cases go through the Ninth Circuit. So we're not optimistic necessarily because the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is a little bit leftist, not as leftist as it used to be, thank you to President Trump, but still leftist. And so then it's on to the Supreme Court after that. But, you know, it ties in with the Twitter files. It was the state of California that requested that I be censored, and then I was banned for discussing election irregularities. I don't know what platform this will be played on, but I'll, you know, people can fill in the blanks there. And so we had the smoking gun emails. We caught them. Thus far, my experience back on Twitter has been great, better than when I left off. It is a breath of fresh air to have so much freedom of speech. Being on Instagram, Instagram is very highly censored. They have the fact checkers, PolitiFact, Lead Stories. There's at least 10 other Associated Press. I got fact checked when there were Chinese tanks rolling down a street in front of their bank when people couldn't withdraw the money. I got fact checked when I posted that the next day by the Associated Press saying they talked with a employee nearby who said that it was a military training exercise, nothing to do with. And it was written by like a Chinese author and, you know, based in Beijing or wherever. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, the Chinese are censoring us.
You're getting fact checked by the Xinhua state news agency over there. Yeah.
There's no one that works for in any type of Chinese enterprise or Chinese office, satellite office of a company that isn't a government agent. So,
yeah, of course.
It PolitiFact, I said, you know, Joe Biden is a child predator, and they fact checked that, saying that there's no evidence of any crimes he's committed against children. I mean, the lengths that they go to protect the regime is insane. And so, no, I have not noticed a decrease in the censorship on other platforms. However, I am optimistic that as Elon leads the way, we're starting to see copycat moves by these other big tech platforms. Two moves in particular: one, firing a bunch of people. Elon was the first one to do it, and they all followed suit. And now Facebook and Instagram are going to allow you to buy a blue check, which I personally do not have despite having over 2 million followers, and it'll include customer service, priority in the explore feature. So that's something they followed Elon's lead on. So I'm curious what else, maybe the open source algorithm that Elon is promising, maybe showing why you are suspended or showing whether or not you have any shadow ban applicable to your account. Maybe they'll copy that stuff. So I do thank Elon overall.
I mean, I have been saying this to people for a while that only in social media has it been somehow deemed, and we know why, because it's such a huge advantage for the left, and it's really the social media companies are certainly have a lot more money and are more powerful than any of the legacy media companies. I mean, it's not even close, right? I mean, Google is arguably the three most powerful companies, it could be a country on the planet. And you add some of the others in there as well. I mean, the amount of money that they have and the amount of reach they have is truly mind blowing. But even beyond that, there's no other business where, you know, for example, with your credit card company, they couldn't be like, hey, sorry, we turned you over to collections. And you're like, well, why? Like, what do I owe you? They're like, sorry, how much do I owe you? We can't tell you. All you know is you've been turned over to collections and your card is shut down. Right. I mean, you wouldn't accept that. That's been happening to people with social media for years now. You get strikes, you get demonetized, and there's no explanation. They don't care. They just say, sorry, we've decided, and that's it.
Yeah, I wish they said sorry. They say nothing. You just can't even sign in. No one responds to your emails, and that's it. And it's wrong, and it will be illegal at some point, because if you spend years and hundreds of thousands of dollars building up a following or a business, and it just gets taken out from you one day because of some arbitrary fact checker or some arbitrary application of their community guidelines, which are so broadly written that literally anything can be illegal.
It's just a form of fraud. It's just fraud. I mean, you're taking from people under false pretenses.
It is. I am, again, highly optimistic that my lawsuit will change things across the country. I'm represented by the best civil rights attorney in the country, Harmeet Dhillon. B, we have seen in the Twitter files that the government is so directly intertwined with the censorship apparatus that it's indistinguishable between big tech. I mean, so many of the ex-agents work there, and the coordination just exposing the Twitter files. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just Twitter. Imagine what's going on at Facebook, which is a much bigger company and more users, and especially Google. So tip of the iceberg. And the problem is there's no recourse against this. Obviously, Section 230 protects them, but even my case, which was a First Amendment violation because the government said, hey, literally censor DC Drano. And we have the email, and the judge, the federal judge in the Northern District of California, still said, nope, not enough to prove government collusion. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, I feel like I'm in the – so the big tech is the most powerful force of nature on planet Earth, I would say. If you can – silence the sitting president of the United States, what is more powerful than that? Only God, in my opinion.
I wonder if you'd agree with this, that an argument I've made from the beginning of the pandemic is that the pandemic restrictions and everything that happened was only possible because everybody was carrying around these state collusion propaganda machines in their hands all the time, or, you know, on their screens, computers, smart TVs, etc. Like, the only way you could convince people that we haven't lost our minds as a society when there are little places, little foot pads on the sidewalk in New York City outside to show people how far apart to stand in line before they go indoors to a grocery store where they're going to be just shoulder to shoulder. If the only way you could convince people that that's not insane is if you have a propaganda apparatus that includes social media 24/7 enforcement of the narrative, right? Like, you wouldn't just newspapers wouldn't have been enough. That, at least that's my thesis. Like, just the newspaper in the morning wouldn't have done it.
I completely agree. And, you know, but for every measure, there's a countermeasure. And it was also a place for people like you and me and others to say, hey, this is crazy, right? And, you know, I had a lot of people mention that, because you feel, they want you to feel isolated. They obviously were censoring so many people. Harvard, Stanford, doctors, anyone that questioned the narrative. But I've had people remark, you know, I knew it was crazy, but thanks to, you know, your posts and just these comment sections and everything, I didn't feel alone, because it's like, oh, okay. Because remember, we were all isolated in our houses for the most part. People were too scared to travel. So they shut us down from bars, schools, they shut us down so we couldn't talk to each other and say, hey, this is all crazy, right? And then they distract you online. But I think one very interesting effect of all this is the explosion of Florida into a deep, you know, red state, of which you are now a resident. And I think it's a very interesting phenomenon overall.
I mean, I've certainly never seen anything like this. I want to talk to you more about that. Let's talk about the Florida phenomenon, the Florida Revolution. And, you know, there are two very important Republican politicians who call Florida home. And one of them, our former president, you had dinner with recently. You talked to him just a couple weeks ago. Want to ask you about that, too. We're here with Rogan O'Handley, D.C. Drano. You're on Instagram and you're right wing. You know D.C. Drano. And if you don't, you should. So go follow him. Heads up out there, if you're a T-Mobile subscriber, because they're investigating a data breach that exposed the sensitive personal information of 37 million customers. Right after the new year, a cyber hackers grabbed data without notice. Could include customers' names, emails, billing addresses, and phone numbers. If exploited, cyber criminals can use this information to commit online identity theft. If your info is involved, how are you going to know about this? This is why you need LifeLock. LifeLock has 24/7 web monitoring for irregular activities and new account openings if you're in your name. And if they see unusual activity that's in your name and you're a LifeLock customer, then you're actually going to get an alert. Comes via text or an email, and it can save you so many hours of headache later on. So you need LifeLock to have your back. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. And if you do, by the way, become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based LifeLock restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but it's easy to help protect yourself with LifeLock. I've relied on them for years. I've actually had to use them in the past when someone used my identity to open up an account. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year with promo code BUCK at LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code BUCK, or call 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com, promo code BUCK for 25% off. All right, Rogan, let's start with Trump dinner. I'm assuming you're at, what, Mar-a-Lago, out on the patio. Folks are gathered around. Yep. You're there with the one and only 45. What can you tell us?
It was incredible. I'm still kind of processing that, you know, I was even invited to that. It's kind of funny. If you've ever been to Mar-a-Lago, it's absolutely beautiful. You're basically, it's a usable museum. It's, you know, one of the biggest houses in America. So lavish, gold-plated everything. It was owned by the Post family, who was believed to be the richest woman in the world at the time, the Post, you know, serial heiress. And Trump is actually really funny. So it's a social club. So, you know, you pay a huge fee and you get to go there and have dinners and, you know, the pools and the events. Trump DJs with his iPad almost every night that he's there. He's out there grabbing dinner. He's got a cordoned off table amongst, you know, 10 or 15 other tables. And it's a great menu, great food. But he'll sit there while he's drinking his Diet Coke and eating his dinner with an iPad propped up, and he'll just pick different songs. And so while we were at dinner, he's like, "Hey, you got to hear this song by Elvis. So you like this song? You like Elvis? You like Elvis? Listen to this song." It just, and he DJs the whole time. He's like, "Oh my gosh, Pavarotti. Let me tell you about Pavarotti." And then he'll play Pavarotti while telling about this time that he, you know, hired him to sing at some event in New York City. And let me just say that Trump is in top form. He is well rested. He is very spirited. He's laughing a lot. He's sharp as a tack. He knows. I think his policy videos have been very impressive, adapting to the current times with what we're facing. He's not just replaying the 2016 glory days. He's adapting to what's going on now. He's anti-ESG. He's anti-woke. He's really fighting for free speech on the internet. He's, protecting parents' rights in schools. And, you know, so he's modernized his campaign, and he is, you know, that was kind of my biggest thing. I was like, how sharp is this guy? You know, I know he's getting a little older. This, he's on top of it. He's seems 15, 20 years younger than Biden is currently, which I know isn't saying much because Biden is practically drooling. But it was an incredible dinner. We talked about literally everything. We were there for like 3 hours. I've never drank more Diet Coke in my life. But I was like, hey, if you're with dinner with President Trump, you gotta drink
as one
Diet
does.
Coke.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah. You're drinking Diet Coke.
Rogan, Drano.
Yeah.
Can Trump win 2024?
So I don't think anyone can win 2024 without fixing election fraud. I am slightly optimistic that we have fixed enough states where if they don't have a catastrophic pandemic, World War III, cyber attack, that we can overwhelm the fraud, that we don't have this mass mail-in ballot situation. I think we can overwhelm the fraud. But overall, I do think Trump has the best chance to do that. I think the primary is done and done. I love DeSantis. I am a huge, huge fan of DeSantis. But he's going to be splitting Trump's leftovers with at least five or six, maybe more other candidates. And that's just going to be really hard to beat Trump's, 40 to 50 locked in percent. So I do think he can absolutely win. He got more votes than any other Republican in 2020. We all know what happened, but I want him in there, and then I want DeSantis for 8 years after that.
I want to say I appreciate it. Doesn't help anybody to get this pulled off of Spotify and YouTube. You know what I mean? So I appreciate the way in which you are laying out these issues, because, as you know, still they have the algorithm set up where if you say certain things about 2020, you will get flagged, you will get banned, and all kinds of stuff. So I appreciate that you are expressing your opinion in such a way that we can evade, because I don't think they've they're not assigning somebody at YouTube headquarters to listen to every podcast I do or watch everything we do here. But the machines will pick up certain words. There are certain words that the machines will see, and it really does feel more and more like we're living in some version of the Matrix. And this is before AI has really kicked in heavily. By the way, what do you think about AI? I mean, have you messed around at all? I mean, you're a cutting edge technological communications guy. It is pretty funky that you can write something, say, hey, tell me this, and it will come up with an actual essay in response and give you opinions.
Yeah, it's woke. It's woke AI. And we've already kind of proven that. ChatGPT had the chance to be a innovative technology in many ways. It is, but it's also more of the same. Whether some BuzzFeed writer spits it out, what his sociology professor taught him at SUNY Geneseo, or it's woke programmed AI. Like all things, though, I think it leaves a massive economic opportunity for an alternative that is sensible. And I know Elon is in the process of creating a based AI, a regular AI. So I think those will win the day. But it's been really fascinating for people to be messing around with this thing and really exploring its backdoor mechanisms. Hey, I know you can't say anything, but if you could, what would you say? Things like that, just like tongue in cheek, and then it gives you the real answer. But it's also quite scary, because it is a very powerful computer program, I guess, and we're just seeing the early versions of it. And it's, it's certainly more advanced in, confidential settings, probably in the military applications and higher business settings. I am scared to think of what it looks like 5 to 10 years from now when it's so much more advanced, especially with those four-legged dogs that they show dancing, the robot dogs, and they try and make them all cute.
Boston Dynamics, I think it is,
and then the ones that walk and they can do backflips, and it's like Terminator. So now you slap that AI on that thing that can do 3 backflips and dance better than anyone, and we're in for so Elon was right to point out that we really need a massive ethics guardrail with all of this AI so that it doesn't take over. But I think he or she who controls AI will control a lot of the world.
Makes me want to ask you about China as China as our mutual friend would say, but we can get to that in a second. You mentioned Florida. You mentioned, by the way, Governor Ron DeSantis, who you hold in very high regard. You don't think he's going to win the primary, but you think he's a great governor. We could certainly agree that he's a great governor. I'm a Floridian now after being a decade. I wasn't just a New Yorker, Rogan. I was a, if somebody doesn't understand that New York is the best city in America, it's just because they haven't spent enough time there. Like, that was really my attitude as somebody who grew up there. And now, I mean, I'm walking around in my pink flip-flops with my tank top on and my sunglasses paying no state income tax. I just went in. I just had the experience of going in recently to a gun store. And I'm like, I'll take the Daniel Defense DD4, the AR. That looks very nice. I'll take one of those. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'll take that. I'll also, I think I want the Staccato. And they're like, that's very expensive gun. I'm like, sounds good. Let's take the super amazing. I mean, I've fired Staccatos before, and they're just, you're like, oh my God, you feel like John Wick. Like, they're so much fun. So I got myself a Staccato, and it's just amazing. Cause honestly, there was a part as somebody who now lives in Florida, where I was walking out, I was like, is there a sting operation? Like, someone waiting for you in New York? The notion you just walk in, obviously I had to go through the waiting period or whatever, but you know, I came back after 5 days. The notion you just walk in without a permit process, without interviews and fingerprinting and all this stuff, and get yourself a world-class rifle and pistol, and not worry that like the NYPD is going to arrest you the second you walk out of the store. I mean, that's just one example for me of just, it's amazing how much better life is in so many ways in these red states now. It really does make a difference. It really is different.
Welcome to America. I went through the same process. I came here from California, and my AR at the time could only hold 10 rounds, and you couldn't even just push the button to drop the magazine. You had to stick a pin in a little hole to push it. It was like the workaround. It couldn't have like a detached magazine. I mean, and I got it fixed out here, and I've got, you know, many more guns, the Florida versions, which are, you know, real guns. It's amazing. The good thing about Florida too is if you have your carry concealed permit, you can just walk out of the store with the gun. You don't have to wait.
Right. I got to get
and
that.
Yeah. And we're getting rid of the carry concealed permit. We're going to be a constitutional carry
yeah,
soon. And we got some work to do on our 2A stuff. We've really led the country on the culture war, but we have red flag laws. They enacted those after Parkland. And, you know, to my knowledge, they have not really been utilized, but we got to get rid of those. And I think we should also be an open carry state. I think, there's a few other things that we can do. But Florida is, I think it's fascinating how many prominent conservatives have moved here. I feel like that we all know, no matter what happens, who's in the White House, who takes over, Florida will always be free. There's a snowball's chance in hell of any Democrat winning this state, especially if they're in line with the current platform of the Democrat Party, which is Marxist. And we have such a deep bench of talent. I mean, think about it. Even if we didn't have Ron DeSantis, we got Matt Gaetz, we got Byron Donalds, we got Greg Stubbe, we got Ana Paulina Luna. And that's just the people that are currently elected. Never mind the deep bench of political talent. Charlie Kirk lives here. You live here. I live here. Benny Johnson, Dan Bongino, Ann Coulter, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, half the year with Tucker. So you've pretty much, Ben Shapiro, you've pretty much got, Seth Dillon.
I know, I can sit down, I'm like, we just keep going. Carol Markowitz is down here. Dave Rubin is down here. Like, there's all of these, you sit here, keep going and going, by the way. It is the greatest concentration of right-wing media talent in one state ever.
Yes. And I would say that we are the strongest and densest Republican stronghold on planet Earth. I think we are where if freedom dies in Florida, it dies everywhere. And so I am hoping, and I firmly believe, you know, as scary as AI is, we are building such a powerful media ecosystem with independent journalism. I mean, think of how far we've come just in 2 or 3 years, never mind 5 or 6 years. I mean, I didn't even have an account 5 or 6 years ago. And now I've got, what, over 4 million combined? And look at the growth that Charlie Kirk has had. Dan Bongino has had, Candace Owens. All these names have literally hundreds of millions of followers that just didn't exist 5 years ago. And Rumble, you know, is a massive growing platform. You know, all these podcasts are exploding in popularity. Daily Wire is turning into a basically a mainstream media conglomerate with a conservative perspective. You know, Jordan Peterson is selling out arenas to talk about. I mean, we are really, this is a very pivotal moment and a very historic moment in American history where there is a true peaceful conservative revolution rising up to take back this country, because the entire world is at stake. I mean, what we're facing here in America is impacting the whole world. And I frankly think a lot of it comes from the WEF.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why hasn't Biden gone to East Palestine, Rogan?
Because when it comes down to it, he hates the American people. He doesn't even like Democrats. Biden is a sock puppet for a criminal. Again, we're on these platforms for a criminal cartel that is looting the U.S. Treasury, laundering it overseas, $85 billion in weapons for the Taliban, $100 billion to Ukraine. We've got an open border flooding the country with people who are not American and who do not grow up with our heritage and our culture and our education system and our understanding of our freedoms. They want to dilute the American vote. They want to give these people voting rights. And what they did in Afghanistan, where they disgraced what our military fought for so many years and people gave their lives for, what he did when he let that Chinese spy balloon fly over the country undisturbed, what he did when he brought back the WNBA player but not the U.S. Marine, these are all intentional acts. When he checked his watch during the funeral, the procession for the soldiers coming home from Afghanistan, these are all intentional acts. He's not visiting Ohio on purpose. He is trying to demoralize the United States, because when it comes down to it, this is the third term for Obama. And Obama was doing this in his last term. He was at the funeral of the five Dallas cops killed by a BLM radical. He demonized cops in his eulogy. It is an intentional, they hate America. That's the whole woke movement. America is this racist country that doesn't deserve our respect. And these people that rose up and supported Trump, this uprising, they need to be put back in their place. They need to be demoralized, crushed, and stuffed back into complacency so that the criminal cartel in D.C. can continue to loot and destroy this great country.
Do you think we're gaining ground right now in the culture war in key areas? I mean, one place where I've seen a lot of action, you mentioned the Daily Wire before, you know, Matt Walsh did that great movie, What is a Woman? And I've seen now a number of states enacting legislation, including my friend Governor Stitt of Oklahoma, getting rid of gender transition surgery for minors. You know, I want to know your feeling on this, because on the one hand, it feels like, okay, we're getting some momentum in some important areas. And the others, it feels like, oh my God, we're really at this point? You know, you see some of the stuff on libs of TikTok, for example, that Chaya is showing everybody that the libs are doing. And on the one hand, yeah, people need to see this. They need to know about it. But also, I mean, good God, Rogan, you see some of the stuff they're doing at these family friendly drag shows or whatever. They got middle aged men gyrating their butts in the faces of small children. They've got like thongs on. It's appalling. And this is where we're fighting. So are we winning or are we defending on our own 5-yard line?
Well, the crazy thing is those things are already illegal. There's just a lack of integrity with enforcing, you know, indecency in front of children. Thankfully, in Florida, you know, we are taking a much stronger stance. There was one of those drag shows at an Orlando bar, and DeSantis revoked their liquor license after. So they'll be out of business soon. And that sends a message to all the other establishments, and they're not going to risk losing their entire business to push a woke, exploitation of children. Are we winning? Yes. Does it feel like it? Not always. There is more momentum on Second Amendment rights, on restoring election integrity, on awakening parents to what this Marxist movement has been trying to do to our children. As aggressive and insane as the left has gotten, it has a counter reaction amongst people. Nature finds a balance. And as they push harder to the left, more and more people are waking up on the right and in the middle. I've personally seen a material shift in Elon Musk and Joe Rogan's political opinions. I think they both used to be pretty middle of the road people. And then California treated them so badly, they both got pushed out. And now they're, I wouldn't say they're necessarily conservatives, but what is even a conservative at this point? A common sense, regular, independent American that doesn't think a naked man dressed as a woman should dance in front of children? I mean, the left has gone so far left that just regular prior center left people are considered conservatives at this point. So this is unsustainable long term. And it kind of feels like the movement trying to destroy our country is in a little bit of a death rattle, that they're losing their grip on power and their ability to deceive people, especially with more and more free speech coming out on social media, that they're just going all out. And those types of regimes just simply don't last. So as painful as this is at times, the big picture is that we are the white blood cells of humanity are coming to vanquish this evil movement. Frankly, I think it's demonic. And so I think there is a bit of an awakening in this country. And then we'll have to save the rest of the world after.
Well, Rogan, you're certainly doing your part. Everybody should go check out DC Drano on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow the accounts that he puts up there. One thing that you do that's so important is obviously fighting on the right messages and pushing the principles. It's funny, you're right. It's not even conservative. It's just decent and American and true. That's if you're a decent, truth abiding American, it feels like you're a conservative these days, even if people don't even identify that way. But what you do, I think, is so important. And also, the mockery of the left. This is always, it's true of all tyrants. The thing they cannot abide is mockery. The thing that, and you know this better than most, Rogan, the thing that, you know, when the DC Drano account posts something that hits too close to home, it burns them, man. And it is great. It upsets those lunatic Marxist demons. And that's a good thing for everybody in the country, and actually for them too, because maybe they'll actually decide that they're going to abandon the lunacy that they have adopted. Rogan, great to be with you, man. Thank you so much for hanging. We'll definitely want to have you back as the election's going on. So I hope you come back and hang out with us. And it's cool that you're getting to chat with me and obviously Clay and Buck audience, learning more about your work through it. So DC Drone, everybody, stay in the fight, my friend. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you for having me, Buck. Keep it up, brother. God bless.
Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.